Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome into the show. Happy Tuesday. Bill Ryder with you. As always, this is cool. It is a thrill and an honor to be filling in for Jim, hanging out with the guys here in L.A., Garrett Ritt, James Kelly, and back in New York City helping on the show, the newly engaged Tom DeCelestino. Tommy D, settling down. The world's a better place. And Stuart Kovacs, our resident motorcycle enthusiast, also helping out in New York City. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We got a lot of stuff to unpack today, a lot to get to. Tom Telesco, the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers, I'm so muscle memory to say that city down south, of the Los Angeles Chargers, will be on about 35 minutes. Colin Morikawa, who is a PGA Tour phenom golfer, 22-year-old, going to be on the program an hour from now. My colleague at CBS Sports, Will Brinson, does a great job covering the NFL about an hour and a half in the final hour. 2:20, those of you out east, 10:20, or excuse me, 11:20, I'm not good at math. Those of us out here on the West Coast, we'll have Tom Verducci, the baseball guru, on the program. Want to get into a bunch of stuff. Want to start with Tom Brady. But I'm going to say this first, and I'm going to say it as a congratulations and as a point of fact. And since I'll never be in jeopardy of even approaching the Radio Hall of Fame, I don't have to worry about hurting feelings. Congratulations to Jim Rome for getting in Radio Hall of Fame. It's about darn time. I mean, seriously, what were you waiting on? But it's an amazing accomplishment for Jim, and it's always cool filling in. I've talked a lot about how I'm sitting here doing the show. I have the television show on CBS Sports HQ. I have the radio show on this network in the evenings if you're on the East Coast, the afternoons if you're on the West Coast. In large part, huge contribution to Jim Rome. And if there's ever been a Radio Hall of Famer in the sports talk radio business, first and foremost, it's Jim Rome. He is, at least from my money, he is the GOAT at what I do for a living. And we'll use that to transition into Tom Brady being the greatest of all time for what he does for a living. Yesterday, the news trickling out in the last 36 hours, we thought, all of us out there, sports fans, media members, that Tom Brady had a 3-year deal. How selfless, how exciting, how wonderful. But some of the details do contain some realities that actually skew and change the narrative for what is going on with the Patriots. According to Ian Rappaport, I know the news came out after this show, Jim's show, ended yesterday. In effect, this 3-year deal that we thought allowed Tom Brady, newly minted as a 42-year-old, to continue his career in New England for 3 more seasons, actually makes him a straight, unrestricted, absolute free agent at the end of the year. The details are these. Then we'll hear from Brady and Belichick, you know, Belichick and all his candid loquaciousness, and then I'll tell you what it actually means. Tom Brady's deal, even though it's a 3-year deal, has a clause, according to the reports, that terminates the contract at the end of the year, and, significant, the Patriots can neither franchise tag nor transition tag their all-time great quarterback. And so Tom Brady will have another year with the Patriots, continue to push back against Father Time. I know Father Time's undefeated, but at least for the moment, Brady is going round for round against Father Time in a way we have not seen. And at 42, we'll see whether or not he can keep it up. But there's a real possibility. There's a real opportunity. I think it's beyond plausible Brady could be somewhere else in a different jersey a year from now. But yesterday, when they faced the media before the news broke, Brady, Belichick, Patriots Nation, was pretty excited. And Brady started by talking about getting this new deal done.
It's really the reality for most guys in the NFL. You know, I don't want to think that I'm any different than everyone else. Like, it's football's a tough business. It's a production business. It is what it is. That's a good line. So whoever said it, it's very pertinent. So, like I said, there's a lot of guys who have, you know, 1 year left on their contract. So the situation, I got 1 year to go, and we'll see what happens.
Brady's salary. And Brady, I don't think he gets credit for this. Tom Brady has always taken markedly less money than he is worth, and then he had the leverage to get to help the Patriots build a winner. His salary jumps him up to $23 million. He'll be, what, the 6th highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. He spent a lot of his career in that 12 to 18 range. Whatever you think of Brady, and I think he's the greatest QB of all time, beyond debate, the guy's been selfless in the pursuit of excellence relative to what he could have had. He also talked about, we know Brady has bulked up this year, wants to be able to take more hits. And again, he's pushing up against a level of age that we haven't seen in terms of successful quarterback play in the National Football League. And he talked yesterday about his hope, his need to just try to continue to stay healthy.
You got to take care of your body. So I wrote a book on it, literally. I live by it. And I think it's given me pretty good results. So I try to pass it on to the next generation so they don't have to go on through the same mistakes that I did. But everyone learns different ways. And hopefully I could be an inspiration. You know, that's really what I got a great opportunity to prove to a lot of people that, you know, they didn't think I could do it. And hopefully I can.
Tom, it's Bill Ryder here filling in for Jim Rome. You don't have to plug the book, man. You just got a big raise. You're going to be okay. Your wife does well. You just sold a $40 million house a few years ago here in Los Angeles, California. I think the book's going to be fine. Just because Belichick never says anything, but just because I find it funny to listen to the art of him saying as little as possible, here is the overly loquacious and verbose Bill Belichick on the deal.
On the Brady contract, it's always good to come to an agreement with a player, any player. So, you know, that's a good thing. I know I'm not going to talk about the contract, so we'll move on from that and focus on what we're here for, which is a great opportunity to work against the Lions.
I mean, my kids are going to the dentist tomorrow, and Bill Belichick sounds more miserable than they did this morning when we gave him the news. So here's the reality, and here's what I think is interesting. I know there's this idea, this belief that Tom Brady is never going to play anywhere else, and the inevitability of Brady and the Patriots being a partnership until Brady wants to step away, for a lot of you, is already fact. And I get the argument that Robert Kraft, the owner in Brady's camp, has already intervened on behalf of Brady in a power struggle between Brady and his head coach, and that's why Jimmy Garoppolo is a 49er. In fact, I interviewed and talked to Brady Quinn yesterday on the show that I host at night here on CBS Sports Radio, and Brady made the exact same point. I'm going to respectfully disagree. First, I'm old enough to remember Joe Montana and the exact same conversation. And I'm old enough to remember Montana being a Kansas City Chief, taking that team to an AFC Championship game. And even though it didn't feel right or look right, Joe Montana still had something left to prove. Tom Brady is defined by the chip on his shoulder. You heard it in one of those clips. Nobody thought I can do it. Also, in diving into the numbers, and if I can see this, believe me, so do the Patriots. As much as we talk about what Brady's accomplished, as much as we talk about how remarkable it has been that he has pushed into his 40s and been great, and you're talking three consecutive Super Bowl appearances, an MVP, and two Super Bowl wins over the course of time in which Tom Brady, at his age, isn't supposed to do what he's been doing. But if you dive deeper into quarterbacks who have played into their 40s, if you dive deeper into the reality of QBs who have at least trailblazed a little bit what Brady's doing now, that 41st year of football is a magic number. It's the furthest any quarterback has ever gone in the National Football League and played well. Steve DeBerg, Warren Moon, Vinny Testaverde, Doug Flutie, Mark Brunell, Brett Favre, there's a few others. Not a single one of those players has ever had an effective year after their 41st birthday. Brady turned 42 a few days ago. And so I think it's very reasonable to expect that Bill Belichick, in his cutthroat nature, doesn't believe that Tom Brady is going to be Tom Brady a year from now. Let me, Brett Favre and Warren Moon, I think, are the right comparisons to make the point that the idea that Brady is going to continue to be remarkable has never been tested. And Brady was awesome last year. The dude threw for almost 4,400 yards. He had 29 touchdowns. He had a passer rating of 98. He completed 66% of his passes. If you look at all of those stats and some of the deeper NFL analytics, he was somewhere between his fifth and seventh most effective season of his career, which pretty remarkable when you consider he's the greatest QB of all time. I understand, I get the notion that it's easier to be a quarterback now than when Brady came into the game and that the rules in the NFL are designed to protect QBs. You still have to go out there and do it. It's not like Marcus Mariota has stepped into that situation, just to pick an example, in Tennessee and just flourished because it's so easy to be a quarterback. You still have to be able to do it, and Brady can do it. Brett Favre's last productive season was when he retired at age 41. 4,200 yards, 33 touchdowns, actually very similar numbers to what Brady did last year. But Warren Moon's the guy. We may have him on the show here on the Jim Rome Show later this week. Bill Ryder filling in. Warren's a guest frequently on the show that I host here on CBS Sports Radio. I like the guy. And we always talk about Warren Moon. He played until he was 44. He did it for so long. He showed what's possible. But the reality is that Warren Moon, as a 41-year-old quarterback, and Warren Moon after that 42nd birthday, and I mean exactly the moment he turned 42, became a different QB in effectiveness. Warren Moon's NFL games as a 41-year-old was 13 games stretching over two seasons. And he was pretty good. I mean, Warren Moon wasn't the most efficient guy on the face of the earth. He had other skills, but he completed 58% of his passes, had a quarterback rating of 82, threw 17 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He was effective. The moment he turned 42, in the last year in which he was a designated starter, Warren Moon utterly disintegrated like some magical number that birthday that Brady hit a few days ago. Once he turned 42, Warren Moon played in four games. He completed fewer than 50% of his passes. Four games once he turned 42. And I'm telling you, and if you want to give us a call here on the show, 1-800-636-8686, Rome at haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter, at Jim Rome. I'm on there at Sports Writer Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. You can give your take or just come after me for not being Jim. It's cool. Sports Writer Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady aren't loyal to one another. The notion that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are loyal to the Patriots is a misnomer. It's a mistaken understanding of those two guys. The reason that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, the reason Bill Belichick is the greatest head coach in the history of the game, the way that the Patriots' way was formed and forged and how we understand it, is that the only thing that matters is victory. The only thing that matters is football, is winning football games. That's why there is no such thing as a sacred cow in that organization. And Brady's chip on his shoulder, and the perfect situation he found in New England. Don't give me this system quarterback stuff. He was put in a spot where he could be successful. The Patriots weren't going to get in his way, and he unraveled the greatest career in the history of that position in the National Football League. And Bill Belichick, in a similar way, understands and has always understood winning comes first. And that reality that defines each of these guys, Belichick being cutthroat in the pursuit of W's, and Tom Brady being cutthroat in the pursuit of proving every doubter wrong, again and again and again and again. What happened at Michigan, falling to the sixth round, Spygate, Deflategate, you're too old, you're suspended by the commissioner. All of that has motivated Brady and Belichick to be together. And what this contract shows us is that we're approaching a point, potentially, where Bill Belichick's not going to believe Brady has it, and he's going to want to move on, even without his handpicked successor in Jimmy Garoppolo. And Tom Brady is going to, he's told us this, want to play till he's 45, think he still has it. One of the paradoxes of being a remarkable athlete, an all-time great, and this is almost universally true, is that what makes you Michael Jordan, what makes you Tom Brady, what makes you one of the greats of all time, Kareem, Willie Mays, whoever it is that belief that every doubter is wrong and fuel for your fire for greatness. And that works until you're not great anymore. And you're almost always the last one to recognize it. And when that happens between Brady and Belichick, Brady is going to go somewhere else. He's going to turn that anger, that chip on his shoulder. He's going to see that doubt, not outwardly, but in that organization in New England. Brady just listed his home in Brookline, Massachusetts, in Greater Boston for sale. And I'm telling you, a year from now, if Tom Brady falters a little bit, has a bit of an offseason, if Belichick decides it's time to move on, if you're sitting there in Tennessee or Jacksonville or Denver or wherever, there's going to be a 43-year-old quarterback available who's the best of all time and who's trying to play the position of quarterback in the NFL at an age in which it's never been done effectively. And if you got a take on whether you think Brady is going to last that long and who you would trust to make the decision about his effectiveness for the next 2 years, Belichick or Brady, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. We'll take your phone calls. RomanHaveAtake.com. Bill Ryder filling. This is great. It's cool being here. And I'll tell you, I hate betting against Brady. I hate betting against Belichick because I've literally lost a lot of money doing both of those things. Hello, Atlanta Super Bowl. That was a disaster. But these guys are not going to be on the same page forever because they're not about kumbaya. They're about winning football games, and their interests are about to diverge. I'll tell you who I trust above the other. We'll take your phone calls. Bill Ryder filling in. We'll be back here in a minute on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim, who is still off this week. It is it's a privilege to be here. It's very cool to be filling in. I was telling the guys, I was telling James earlier, I've said this before, but I'm a big believer in gratitude and appreciating the people who got you there. Used to fill in, not fill in, I used to be on Jim's CBS Sports Network show, the television show. Jim had me as a radio guest at some key moments in my career covering the NBA and writing about that mess at Penn State all those years ago. And Jim is a guy who he and his show have been pretty instrumental in the good fortune I've had in my career. So every time I get the call and the opportunity to be here and fill in for Jim, it is literally one of the coolest things in my life, and it's cool being here. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. Rome@haveatake.com, on Twitter at Jim Rome and jimrome.com. And clones, I got to tell you, you already know this. I'm just going to reiterate it. The Hall of Famer that is Jim Rome, every time I do this show, and I love doing my show at night, and we have a lot of fun, every time I fill in for Jim, people I have not heard from in years reach out to me. It is amazing the reach of this program, and again, very cool to be on the show. Tom Telesco is the GM with the Chargers. He's going to be on the program in about 20 minutes, somewhere in that range. We'll obviously ask him about Melvin Gordon, about the situation and status of that holdout, and just have a general conversation about a Chargers team that I really like this year. As a Super Bowl contender, last year we're so close to winning that AFC West against a Chiefs team that, as we know, was a coin flip away in overtime from being in the Super Bowl and putting a stop to this Tom Brady run. A stop that, you know, either Father Time or Bill Belichick is probably going to be the one to raise the red flag on, the white flag on. It's really tough because I understand that there's going to come a moment, that there's going to be a time when Tom Brady, because he's too old, is not going to be able to play football at the level we've come to expect. And while you can never get into somebody's heart, into somebody's brain, into somebody's mind, even though you never really know, I got to believe Tom Brady and his drive, how much he, and he talks about it, and it's not BS. Brady loves playing football. He loves the game. And I think it's inevitable, whether it's an entire season or it's a drop-off in a season, so it's 5 or 6 games, we're going to see Tom Brady play the level that is that's going to be hard to watch. Think about the all-time greats. How many of them have played well beyond their expiration date and didn't know it and could have known it? I'm a child of Jordan. Grew up in Dubuque, Iowa, and the suburbs of Chicago, and I'm 41. So I was a kid and a high school kid for both of those three-peats. There are not many events in my life where I remember exactly where I was in every detail. And like with most of those moments that hang in our memory, some of them are traumatic, are awful. Some of them are the highest moments of my life. The birth of my two children are certainly on there. And there's a few others that are random, and Jordan's return is one of them. And even I, years later, could not watch when he was in Washington. Because guys can't give it up, man. I think, and we'll hit on this maybe tomorrow when we have some time, I still think LeBron James is the best player on earth, and I think there's a chance he's going to be for a while. I think it's going to be a minute before that changes. But LeBron's not going to walk away at the height of his powers. He's just not. He's just not. I don't think it's going to be when he's 37. I think it'll be when he's 41. But LeBron is absolutely, at some point, going to embarrass himself, not because there's something wrong with him, but because what makes him great, what makes him amazing, is the same thing that's going to make it impossible for him to give up the ghost. And that's true for Brady, too. And nobody knows that more than Bill Belichick. Nobody knows more than Bill Belichick how remarkably cutthroat Brady is. And the moment their interests diverge, the moment Belichick thinks it's time to move on or to question Brady, and that Brady doesn't agree, that is going to become an untenable relationship. All right, let's go out to the phone lines, 1-800-636-8686. Craig and Lansing, what's going on, brother? Appreciate you. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, thanks, man. Good to hear you, Bill. Hey, listen, man, I was going to say, you know, there's nothing that says these guys, being that Belichick's 67 years old, people talk about Brady's age, but he's getting up there too, and so he's no spring chicken. I'm thinking at a certain point they're just going to ride off into the sunset like Butch and, you know, the Sundance Kid, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Now, what I was going to say is, if they were to separate, I think Belichick has a better chance of succeeding than Brady, even if Brady didn't have declining skills, just because he's an adjuster. If he knows, hey, look, you know, I've got Brady, this is all I need to do to win, I can do that, and he'll figure out a way to get it done. Now, if Brady leaves, he'll have the next guy in there, and he'll figure out how to do what he needs to do with that guy. You know, like I said to your coworker, I was like, hey, man, I think this man could win with Matt Stafford there. And I mean, I'm not trying to dog out the Lions, but, you know, people don't think very highly of that guy at times. So I'm just saying that, you know, it depends on who he has and what he can do. And I think that Brady is going to play another 2 years. I mean, I think he'll play next year if they win the Super Bowl. I think he'll be tempted to play one more. I don't think he's going to be – I think he'll be more like some of the guys that chose to leave when they should have left, like Elway, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders. I mean, there's other guys. Steve Young and Troy Aikman could have played more if they you know, but they knew the concussions were catching up to them, so they got out when they needed to. They were smart about it. And I think that I think Brady will be the same way. I don't think he's pushing the envelope at this point. I think he just knows that with the rules the way they are, that he can get away with playing the way he's played for a couple more years.
Craig, appreciate the call, brother. It's interesting. The Elway comparison is a good one. I'll offer this up. I think Elway's ability to leave when he did was part relief. He wins the last two Super Bowls of his career, but previous to that, Elway was considered what Phil was before Phil won a major. One of the greats of all time not to be able to get it done. Brady's won so many so young, he's chasing a different standard. Brady's trying to forge a history that's never happened for greatness. Elway was just trying to get a few to prove that his excellence in the regular season reflected his excellence when it mattered most, which is you're trying to win Super Bowls. And I'll say this, too, about those two guys riding off in the sunset. I'd love it to be true. Not a Patriots fan, not a Patriots hater. I'm the guy that criticized Brady during Deflategate, but he's put that to rest with what he's accomplished. I feel like I'm a fairly impartial person when it comes to Tom Brady. Tom Brady is selfish about Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not about Patriots fans. He's not about Bill Belichick. That's why he's Tom Brady. If Brady was about the Patriots, if he was about what's best for the organization, if there was a bond where these guys want to be together forever and do right by each other, not themselves individually, Brady would never have run out Jimmy Garoppolo and would never have pulled a power play in which Kraft forced for the first time in the history of the Belichick era in New England, forced his head coach to trade the future at quarterback. And so if, and I don't think it's going to happen, but if Belichick believes Brady can be great indefinitely, or 2 years at least, and Brady wants to be there, then absolutely, they'll be together. But the moment their interests diverge, the moment that they're not unified, the moment they don't believe that the one needs the other, it's over. And the fact this contract just happened, that Brady can be a free agent, that he is liberated to do what he wants, maybe it's some kind of gentleman's agreement that allows Brady to continue to take less money and help the Patriots build a winner. But I think it's also an escape hatch for Brady if he feels like Belichick is not someone who's going to take care of him or going to draft a replacement. Or for Belichick if in week 14, 15, 16, and 17, right or wrong, Belichick and what he sees on tape is, oh man, it's come, it's hit. Brady's not Brady anymore. I'm not doing this next year. Bill Belichick's not giving up the most important thing in the world to him, and that's a football season. His ridiculous run of success. And ego is a part of this, too. Brady's going to believe he can do it forever. And Belichick's going to remember Matt Cassel. Remember that guy? And how successful they were when Brady got injured that season. He's going to remember how well things went a few years ago when Brady was suspended those four games before coming back against the Browns, and injury after injury happened, and still the Patriots played really good football. If Brady is dynamic this year in the extreme, if like a few years ago he's an MVP-level quarterback, if it looks like not just this year at 42, but next year at 43, which is unprecedented for the human body to play quarterback at the National Football League level at any kind of serviceable point, any kind of serviceable return. But if Brady does it this year and his coach thinks he can do it next year, yeah, he'll be back. But I think the odds are increasing it's going to go a different direction. All right, if you want to give us a call here on the program, 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com. Twitter sports writer sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. We'll read some tweets. We'll take some calls. And we're going to visit with Tom Telesco, the Chargers general manager, when we come back to the Jim Rome Show with me, Bill Ryder, filling in after we get a CBS Sports Radio update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder, as you heard, filling in. Thank you for being here. 1-800-636-8686. Rome at Habitake.com. Tom Telesco, Chargers GM, going to be on the program here in just a minute. If you want to hit me up, sports writer on Twitter, sports, my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. James in Sacramento tweets, Tom Brady, a.k.a. the system, is the best because of his defense. If Rodgers or Brees or Peyton had that defense, you'd say they were the best too. All right, a few things. One, and I think Drew Brees is amazing. We diverged on this yesterday on my show that I hosted in the evenings here. I think Drew Brees is a better quarterback than Peyton Manning. But Drew Brees, especially right now, later in his career, has some pretty amazing weapons. Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. I mean, come on. Give those to Tom Brady. He's going to light up the world. And I know Gronk's amazing when Gronk was on the field, which was not as consistently as it could have been. All right, we're going to we'll circle back to this here in a second. We're going to go to Chargers general manager Tom Telesco, graciously making some time for us now. Tom, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you being on the show. So how's let's start here. How do you like from what you've seen so far in training camp?
Well, so far so good. We've had I don't even know where we are. Maybe day 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there, but it's been good. We had 2 days last week working with the LA Rams. Two separate days, and we got some great work with them. That's been a big part of training camp recently. We're going to work with the Saints next week, but having the combined practices with really good football teams that are talented and well-coached, that really helps us. And we got some great work on Thursday. We got some great work on Saturday. A lot of work with our starters against their starters, and I think that helped, especially on Saturday. I thought we practiced very well this past Saturday, so we'll get ready for our first preseason game against Arizona on Thursday night, and then into next week we'll start working with the Saints and go from there.
Los Angeles Chargers general manager Tom Telesco here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder, that's me filling in. Tom, we're just talking. We started the show talking about Tom Brady and just talking about this idea of age and how quarterbacks, including your own, are playing at a really high level much later into careers than we've seen in the past. How many years of excellence in your camp, in your shop, do you think Philip Rivers has left?
You know, it's hard to know. I mean, and there's no sense us putting a ceiling on it. He keeps himself in great condition. His passion for the game hasn't changed now, probably since, you know, high school or college. He still has the same enthusiasm. And, you know, I think he sees a team around him that has a chance to win. So I've seen no drop-off in Philip since my first year here in 2013. And, you know, we'll just see how long it can go. But no, you're right. It's and more than just Tom Brady and Philip, we've seen more quarterbacks play longer into their careers or go at a longer rate than we've seen in the past. And there could be a number of different reasons for that. But we're lucky to have a guy here that's still playing at a very, very high level at his age.
Yeah, your QB, Philip Rivers. You mentioned Brady, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger. The list is.
Peyton Manning played late into past 35.
Yeah, a guy you're familiar with your time with the Colts. How, you know, I know offensive lines aren't sexy to the casual fan, but they're real important to guys in your chair. How's the offensive line doing health-wise and just from what you've seen?
Well, you're right. It's extremely important to the run game and pass game, obviously. And we have some things to figure out there just with having Russell Okung out right now and you know, not having a real firm timetable of when he'll be back. So we're looking at some different options, what we have at offensive tackle. But this group, you know, led by Russell, led by Mike Pouncey, did a hell of a job last year. They really did. We had two backs that averaged over 5 yards a carry. We ran for the most yards we've run, I think, since I've been here, and our quarterback had a career year. So we have to build off that last year. It won't be the exact same offensive line, more than likely. Not really sure. We've got some couple different guys competing for the guard spot, including Forrest Lamp, who's healthy and ready to go. You know, we'll see how it shakes out. We're going to need, you know, that's the one position group. I think we need this whole preseason, this whole 4 weeks of practice and some of the games to kind of solidify who that best five is going to be and know what we have going into the season because, like I said, we just don't know on Russell exactly when he'll be ready.
Chargers GM Tom Telesco here on the Jim Rome Show. Tom, speaking of your effective running game last year, where do things currently stand with Melvin Gordon?
just don't have an update right now. So, you know, we're just preparing with what we have, and with Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson, and you know, they got some time last year, and you know, they've got most of the reps through the off-season program. They've got most of the reps here through the preseason, and you know, we have to have different plans, different scenarios, and that's the one we have to work on right now. We'll have a plan if Melvin's here, and we'll have a plan if he's not, and that's just the way we'll have to handle it right now.
Tom, if I'm recalling properly, which gives me about a 70% chance, you guys were 4-0 last year when Melvin was unable to play. Does that reality and what that says about the guys at that position behind Melvin Gordon impact decision-making in your thinking as you go through this?
Yeah, I think that's a bit harsh. I think that's a bit of a generalization just to look at one player who wasn't there. And that's why, you know, the team was able to handle and go 4-0 without him. You know, so I don't think that's entirely true. It just is where it is right now. I mean, I like to think that I'm pretty good at bridging the gap, not just in this situation, but others. You know, whether it's a financial disagreement or philosophical disagreement, whether it's a, you know, a meeting with a coach or a scout or a player or an agent, just this situation, I haven't been able to bridge it with this one. So, you know, so secondarily, it's our job to have a plan in place, whether the player's here or not here, and that's what we're trying to do right now.
Tom, last Melvin Gordon question for you. What is, I'm sure he'll be happy with that, but what is your confidence level? And I understand that you're guessing with a lot of variables, but what is your confidence level that we'll see Melvin Gordon out there with you guys before week one?
You know, I just don't really, you know, I don't really put a confidence level on it. I'm not going to make any predictions or thoughts. I mean, like I said, we go into it, we have to prepare and have plans for all different situations. We have to have a plan if Russell Okung is ready in September or ready later in the year. We have to plan, have to have a plan ready if Melvin's ready to go in week one or if he's not here. That's our job. Our job is to get this team ready to win a championship and win a division. So we just have different plans and set and prepare for it. You know, don't really concern myself with making guesses or trying to figure out what the percentages would be, but we'll have a plan no matter what.
Chargers GM Tom Telesco here on the show. A guy that is around and is back after missing a year from injury is Hunter Henry. What does he do for you guys? What does he offer you guys offensively?
Well, Hunter's an excellent player, and now it'd be nice to have him back. I mean, not only in the passing game, but in the running game. He's also a pretty efficient blocker at the line of scrimmage, and he has great rapport with our quarterback in the passing game. I mean, he's whether it's zone coverage, man coverage, he has excellent hands, adjusts the ball very well. He can make some big plays for us on third down. So, you know, we missed him all of last year except for that last playoff game against New England. But it's great to have him back. It's great to have his smile back on the practice field. He went through a long road last year. I know how frustrated he was to have that injury. But no, it's a big part of the offense to have him back.
Tom, that AFC West is formidable. I think most of us would agree that last year and this year, both your team and the Chiefs are considered, certainly by me and by most folks in this business, capable, good enough to make a deep run, maybe the deepest of runs in the postseason. We know Denver has a new head coach who specializes on the defensive end and a new quarterback in Joe Flacco who's had some success, and the Raiders have added some talent. When you look at, again, trying to prepare for this upcoming season, how do you view the AFC West this year compared to the past few years?
I just think it's loaded. I mean, unfortunately, but it is. It's just loaded. Like, we all know about Kansas City and Andy Reid. That's an unbelievable football team. But then, you know, with Denver, with Vic Fangio, I've known Vic for a long time, and Vic has he's a defensive mastermind. He's a defensive genius. He can really pose some problems for you. So having him there and now having Joe Flacco, they're going to be very formidable. And then obviously John Gruden in Oakland. He's one of the best coaches in the league. So it's a loaded division, very competitive, and which if you look at the bright side, whoever comes out of this division will be will be toughened up and should be a good football team going into the playoffs, whoever it is, because it's tough. I mean, there's talent everywhere. There's great coaching everywhere. And, you know, it's going to be a tough road. But we've really emphasized here, obviously, our goal is to win a championship, but our first goal is to win the division. And, you know, obviously I'm biased. I think it's the toughest division of football, but we're not going to shy away from that. We'll be ready to go.
Tom, you're a busy guy. You got a lot going on. But Hard Knocks does debut tonight, and it will feature some insight on one of those teams you have to worry about. Do you watch? Will you watch for entertainment's sake or just for information's sake and trying to get some insight on that organization?
Yeah, you know, when the show first started, I watched it a good amount. Of course, I wasn't a GM then. I had probably a little bit more time on my hands. They do a great job with the show with their inside access, so I watched it. And then there were a number of years I just haven't had a chance to see it very much at all, and probably because I have more on my plate now than I did before. But I'll probably make a point to watch this year's. So I want to see how it's done. Obviously, the team in our division, so it'll be interesting to see behind the scenes of how they do some things. And I'll probably make time to tune in, and if not, I'll watch it at some point just to see how it goes.
Chargers GM Tom Telesco here on the Jim Rome Show with me, Bill Ryder, filling in. Tom, for folks who don't know your background, you spent a lot of time with that Colts organization. You worked your way up there, and you were there, and no hard feelings on my end, when you guys beat my Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl. When you look back at your time with that organization, that quarterback, that head coach, that culture, what are the things you took from your time in Indy that you want to transfer and have tried to transfer to Los Angeles to the Chargers to try and build a winner?
Wow, that's a tough question because really everything I've learned in football as far as building a team and the culture of the organization really comes from those Colts teams, which was Bill Polian as a GM and Tony Dungy as the head coach and Jim Caldwell as the head coach. And, I guess we've probably brought a lot of that here. You know, I only know what I've learned. You just try and build a culture of accountability and a culture of winning. And even though we know this is a business, you know, you try and act like a family still. We spend a lot of time together, players, coaches, staff, and, we work extremely hard at this. But, yeah, those were some special teams with special groups of players. It's amazing when you see players get back together after years. Like, I haven't been able to go back to any reunions or anything like the 06 Super Bowl team or anything like that. But when you see those players get back together, you see the camaraderie they have and how close they are to each other and the unity they have. And you have to have that to be a championship team. And I saw in our football team, we had that last year. We just didn't get to our final goal. But it's everything you create inside the building. And we have a head coach here, Anthony Lynn, that can do that. The players respect him. The players believe in him. And we think we have a plan that can work. It just takes a lot of effort on the way. But, if we can have half the success those Colts teams have had for a long time, I'll be very happy here.
All right, Tom, about a minute left. Tom Telesco, Chargers GM. Last quick question for you here on the Jim Rome Show. Every year you take the Patriots out, there's something between 25 and 40% of the teams that are in the playoffs were not the year before. So it's hard to get, for those of us watching, our minds around who's going to be what. As a GM, when do you have a real sense of what your team is and is not?
I'd say almost closer to Halloween. Those first 4 weeks of the season, I mean, you start building that bond in training camp, but you don't know exactly what type of team you have yet. Every year is different. Every year is unique. You're not going to have the exact same team as you had the year before. So after the first 4 weeks of the season, you start to get a feel for what you may have and what type of team you have. But really, until you get right at middle October, late October, you can really get a feel for where you are talent-wise and team-wise. It just takes time. Certainly isn't opening day, and it certainly isn't week two, but it just takes some time to see what type of football team you're going to be. And then you work from there as far as what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and try and play to those. And that's all about coaching and making adjustments, whether it's X's and O's in the field or whether it's personnel-wise. So, it takes a good amount of year. It takes at least 4 to 6 weeks, probably even a little more, to see exactly where you are as a football team.
Tom Telesco, Chargers GM. Appreciate the time on the Jim Rome Show. Good luck this season. Thanks for being here.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Tom. Tom Telesco on the program, GM of a very good Chargers team. Obviously, Melvin Gordon's a pretty key part. And you heard Tom say that he thought maybe it's a little unfair, but I'll say it again, unfair or otherwise. They were 4-0 last year without Melvin Gordon. Not saying they don't need him. Just saying they have in the past found a way to win some football games without him. We're going to keep it rolling here on the Jim Rome Show. Colin Morikawa is a very talented 22-year-old PGA golfer, a phenom, one of this cluster of really promising young golfers on the tour. We're going to visit with him in a moment. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome, and we'll be back here on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.
You're in a